Welcome to The Juice Today, an audio edition of The Juice that lets educators and parents stay informed about what their students are reading. To order The Juice for your classroom or family, visit us at thejuicelearning.com.
All right, deep dive time. We're checking out The Juice today.
Mm-hmm.
You know that app kids use these days to learn about, well, everything.
Yeah. So let's jump right in. Our first story is coming from the Amazon rainforest in Brazil.
This is cool.
And researchers there have discovered a new species of toad.
And not just any toad.
Right.
It's a teeny tiny toad.
It's a very tiny toad.
They call it the flea toadlet.
I love that.
I know, it's cute.
The flea toadlet.
And it's one of the smallest vertebrates on Earth. Smaller than a ladybug.
Yeah. Even smaller.
Whoa.
Less than 7 millimeters long.
So they must have had a hard time finding this thing.
I know, right? They didn't actually spot it visually at first.
No,
they heard its mating call.
Oh, so they heard it before they saw it.
Exactly.
And what does a flea toadlet mating call sound like?
Well, apparently it's kind of like a chorus of chirps.
Like a little cricket?
Yeah, like a miniature cricket symphony.
That's adorable.
It is.
So this little guy is not only tiny, but it also has some other pretty unique features, right?
Yeah, it has like these really cool adaptations. It only has 2 fingers and 3 toes.
Wow.
And get this, it completely skips the tadpole stage.
What?
Yeah, the eggs hatch directly into these teeny tiny toadlets.
So no polywogs.
Nope, straight to toadlet.
It's like it's from another planet.
It's incredible, right? Like science fiction.
Yeah.
But it's real.
So imagine having this conversation with your kids. Like what other tiny creatures could be out there?
Great.
What kind of crazy adaptations could they have?
What kind of superpowers?
Yeah. I mean, this is like a real life superhero.
Exactly.
This little toad.
Exactly.
All right. Well, let's move on from the rainforest to a story about 2 teenagers who are making history in their own right.
Okay. So this is a really heartwarming story.
Yeah.
About compassion and taking action.
These 2 13-year-old girls.
Yeah.
Kendall and Mary.
Yeah.
They discovered that a Civil War veteran named Daniel Walterhouse was buried in an unmarked grave.
It was a pauper's grave, basically a burial for those who couldn't afford a proper funeral.
So imagine serving your country and then...
Yeah, and then being laid to rest with nothing but like a number to mark your final resting place.
It's just sad.
It is.
But luckily, Kendall and Mary were not having it.
No, they were determined to fix this.
Yeah, they spent their summer digging through historical records, contacting the authorities, and just advocating for this veteran to get the recognition he deserved.
And you know what? They succeeded.
They did.
Yeah, they secured a headstone for him.
Right.
So that his sacrifice would not be forgotten.
I love that story.
I know. It's a great example of how young people can actually make a difference.
Yeah.
Even at that age.
So think about the conversations you could have with your kids about this story.
About like honoring those who came before us.
Yeah. Why is it important to remember people from the past?
Exactly.
And, you know, what could they do to make a difference in their own communities?
Yeah. What change could they make?
It's just such a powerful reminder that history is not just some boring thing you read in a textbook.
No.
It's made up of real people with real stories.
Exactly. Individual lives.
Yes. Okay, well, let's shift gears a little bit to a story that's a little bit heavier.
Okay.
But still just as important to discuss.
All right.
We're talking about the recent floods in Spain.
These floods were devastating.
Yeah.
They claimed nearly 220 lives.
And destroyed countless homes.
Yeah. And left communities struggling to cope with the aftermath.
It's heartbreaking.
It is.
But on top of the tragedy itself, there's also a wave of anger directed at the government.
Yeah. A lot of residents feel like they've been abandoned.
They're saying that the aid has been too slow.
And inadequate.
And there's actually a powerful image described in one of the articles that we read.
What was it?
Residents pelting King Felipe VI and Queen Letizia with mud.
Wow.
During their visit to one of the flood-stricken areas.
That's intense.
It is. And it really shows you the level of frustration and just like desperation that people are feeling.
Yeah, they're at their wit's end.
Right. And the article goes on to share some personal accounts from residents like Arcade Iniguez, who is a high school student who barely escaped the floodwaters. And then another resident, Dennis Borisov, criticized the lack of government support.
Wow. So these personal stories really put a human face on the tragedy.
Yeah. And they raise some really important questions about responsibility and accountability after a natural disaster happens.
Right. Like, what's the role of government in these situations?
Exactly. And it's a complex issue. You know, there are no easy answers. But it's definitely something that we need to be talking about.
Yeah, especially with kids, to help them understand the challenges of disaster relief.
So maybe you could ask your kids, you know, what they would do if they were in charge of helping people after a natural disaster.
That's a good one.
Okay, so now let's turn our attention to a conflict that's unfortunately become all too familiar.
The war in Ukraine.
And there are some new developments that are raising concerns about the future of the region.
Yeah, the situation is definitely escalating.
So one of the articles we read is focusing on Russia's intensified offensive in eastern Ukraine.
Specifically in the Donbas region.
Right, which has been kind of like a focal point of this conflict from the beginning.
A strategically important area.
And to make matters worse, Ukraine is heading into winter in a very precarious position.
Right. They're low on resources.
Yeah, and there's also a lot of uncertainty about how the political developments in the U.S. might impact the aid that Ukraine is receiving.
It's a complicated situation.
It is.
And the article also mentioned the involvement of North Korean troops fighting alongside Russian forces.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's a mood development.
So this whole conflict just highlights how interconnected global politics really is.
Yeah, what happens in one part of the world
right.
affects us all.
Exactly. So even though this is a tough topic, I think it's important to be having these conversations with kids.
Oh, absolutely.
Help them understand, you know, the human cost of war.
The impact on individuals and communities.
And the importance of seeking peaceful solutions.
Oh, like how can we promote peace in the world?
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of important conversations, let's bring it back home to the United States, where we are just days away from the 2024 presidential election.
It's almost here.
I know. And this election is shaping up to be pretty close.
Yeah, a real nail biter.
And one of the stories that we're looking at today is focusing on the record-breaking numbers we're seeing in early voting.
So in-person early voting has hit record levels. But overall, the early vote count is actually projected to be lower than 2020.
Interesting.
Yeah, 2020 was kind of an anomaly because of the pandemic.
Right. Everybody was voting by mail.
Exactly.
Okay, so both the Trump and Harris campaigns are obviously watching these early voting trends very closely.
Oh, yeah. Looking for any advantage they can get.
And the article that we read mentioned that the GOP is actually pretty pleased with their early voting turnout so far.
Yeah, which is a big shift from 2020
right.
when Trump discouraged early voting.
Because he was concerned about fraud.
Exactly.
Okay, so on the other hand, the Harris campaign is drawing encouragement from the high turnout among female voters.
Especially in those key swing states.
That always seemed to decide the election.
I know, it's fascinating to watch it all unfold.
It is.
And, you know, it's a great opportunity to engage kids in conversations about the electoral process.
Yes, talk about the importance of civic engagement.
How our democracy works.
And even, you know, the role of technology in elections.
Yeah. How things have changed.
Right. So you could even ask your kids what they think are the advantages and disadvantages of voting early.
Oh, that's a good one.
Or even have them research the candidates.
Yeah.
Learn about their positions on different issues.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, for our final story today, we're stepping away from the headlines and into the world of philosophy.
Oh, I like this.
Me too.
Sounds intriguing.
We have a quote from Muhammad Iqbal.
Okay.
Who is a prominent thinker and poet from British India.
Okay.
And the quote reads, "People who have no hold over their process of thinking are likely to be ruined by liberty of thought."
Wow, that's deep.
It is.
It really makes you think.
Yeah, and I think it's really relevant today.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially in a world that's just saturated with information.
And opinions
yeah.
coming at us from all directions.
Exactly. So this quote is reminding us that true freedom of thought isn't just about having access to information.
Right.
It's also about being able to process that information critically.
Discern truth from falsehood.
And form your own well-informed opinions.
Yeah. Think for yourself.
Yeah. So how can we help our kids develop those critical thinking skills?
Well, I think it starts with encouraging them to ask questions.
Okay.
Challenge assumptions.
Right. Don't just accept everything at face value.
Exactly.
Look for the bias.
And, you know, even just encouraging them to think for themselves.
Yes.
To form their own opinions.
And to be able to articulate those opinions.
Exactly. To engage in thoughtful dialogue.
Right. Because that's how we build a more informed and reasoned society.
A society where people can actually think critically.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, let's remember that these stories are just the beginning.
Yeah, there's a whole universe of knowledge and discovery out there.
Waiting to be explored.
And we can all be a part of that journey.
Parents, educators, and young minds alike.
It's all about fostering a sense of wonder.
Encouraging open dialogue.
And embracing the power of lifelong learning.
So thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
We hope you enjoyed exploring these stories.
And that they spark some engaging conversations with the young learners in your life.
And remember, the learning never stops. Keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep those conversations going.
Thanks for listening to this overview of The Juice Today. Students read these stories at their own reading levels to improve their comprehension, vocabulary, critical thinking, and more. Learn more at thejuicelearning.com.